Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
A legislative body is going to enact, if you're going to enact a special flood hazard zone as a part of your LDC, you can do so. You can take their map, you can put it in this, you can go through the legislative process, and then those who are concerned about their property landed in it, what does it mean? Well, now I've got to spend an extra X dollars to build up my lot, or I've got to have a drainage easement, I've got to have all these things. I now have regulatory criteria on how I use my land that is unknown and unpublished. And that's just not good. It's not good legislation. It's not good governance, and it's not legal, actually.
So here's the way I understand this. A conversation was had during the Land Development Code discussion in Santa Rosa County recently. This is Robert Beasley, an attorney, who says that the county is compiling information on flood risk areas that are sort of more up to date, more comprehensive than maybe some of the not quite as up-to-date or not quite as comprehensive things like the FEMA maps, you know, the official maps, so to speak. And they're doing this as a way of trying to strategize to figure out where they want to put various projects and how they want to mitigate against flood damage. And then there's kind of this reference to this somehow or other. And the problem is that if the county is keeping this data, if the county is compiling this kind of a, what he's calling a secret map, this is the kind of thing that could affect residential property values. This is the kind of thing that could affect people's ability to know whether to buy and sell a property and to understand the way water's actually working. And they shouldn't have that. It should instead, it's a good tool, but it should be out in the open in the land development code proper.
You have this one line in your code that it opens a door to a map that staff holds and controls that then leads to additional regulatory criteria on my property that I don't even know about. And so this is the concern. I think it's a great planning tool. I think it's needed. I'm not suggesting that it's not needed. I just think that you have to bring it out of the dark. And you have to put it in your land development code, and you say, we shall enact a special flood hazard area. And if you're in this area, the map's published as a part of the land development code, and that means you need extra dirt, extra drainage, extra cost, extra cost, extra cost, and you have notice of it. When you buy this property, so be it. And you're allowed to do that.
And see, I agree with him that if it's something that's going to impact the property owner, then certainly it ought to be more easily available and public. I think what the county's position, though, is we're just trying to get a handle on things and be better prepared and equipped to handle stuff. And the challenge of coming out with a big public map is all of the steps you got to go through in order to get that officially published and whatever. But you can't have it kind of both ways, because if it is going to affect people and if it is information that the county has, then it ought to be public. But at the same time, the restrictions on coming out, at least, again, this is how I understood the conversation. Now, Greg Stewart, who's acting as the attorney for the county, it's on retainer, so he's not, it's not official, the county attorney, but he's kind of the guy primarily acting on it. He says, you got this all wrong.
I respectfully disagree with a lot of that. There is no secret map. And again, you're depriving staff of basically being able to have the background information that they can better do their job. It's not a legislative adoption. It's not modifying the FEMA map. It's setting forth historic data concerning the area. And that really is all that's trying to do. And it's not anything sinister. This is something that is purely to make sure that the information that is necessary to properly evaluate a development approval is before staff.
So they're using it to decide whether to approve these developments. Well, if it's influencing decisions about whether developments get approved based on knowledge that's not all publicly available to people about what's going on with water up to the date in an area, You can see why the builders are concerned about this. You can see why the developers are concerned about this. 437-1620, 437-1620. And then there's signs.
Regarding the issue on signs, and this might be a different subject, correct me if I'm wrong, but that we had a person put up a I Love Santa Rosa County sign on a lot, and he was told to take it down, and then I was told that... My thoughts are, was there a variance? And then I was told, no, we couldn't get a variance on that situation. Is there a path for a variance?
So James Calkins is asking about a sign. And, you know, your first answer here should be, doesn't matter what the content of the sign is, even though it's a cool sign. The county cannot be in the business of discriminating in favor of or against signs based on content. So the fact that you like the sign is not the point. And Chris Phillips, code enforcement, who does James Calkins cannot stand this guy. Phillips says it's too close to the other signs. And so Calkins is like, can he apply for a variance? Because, you know, you can kind of always apply for a variance. And he said, yeah, he can. So that was not good enough for James Calkins, who said, well, did you tell him in advance he could get a variance?
Did you all tell him that he could apply for a variance?
I don't believe that would be the case.
I don't, Commissioner, as staff and as a director, I can tell you, I don't offer the variance options to everybody and anybody. I don't simply just say, oh, you can get a variance. I mean, when you buy a piece of property and you design the house to go on the property, not the property to go on the house.
So what he's saying is, look, we don't go out of our way to tell people when we give them a code violation that they could apply for a variance, because that'd be like telling people, well, the rules don't really always apply. Now, maybe you should inform them that there's a process, an appeals process, but the, you know, hey, here's your ticket, and in the just go ahead and apply for an exemption, maybe you'll get it. So this is Sean Ward talking with James Calkins.
We don't clearly just come out and say, go to the zoning board or go to the BOCC and get a variance.
Well, that's a problem, and I would advise that you all need to let the citizens know that they have an option, because this guy was forced to take down a sign that said I love Santa Rosa County. It was a beautiful sign, and so I would appreciate that you all tell that they have an option, that you let them know that they have an option to get a variance instead of just telling them no. You know, so I'd appreciate that.
I just don't think that when cops pull you over, what they should be telling people is, A, show up and ask the judge to forgive you. I mean, it's not the way rules work. Now, if you want to put it on the code violation form itself that there's the process, okay, that's fine. But telling people out the one hand, you're out the one side of your mouth, hey, here's a violation, you know, this is a problem, and then say, yeah, but go ahead and ask my boss if he can let you out of it. That's just weird. But this is what I'm saying. I think James Calkins' way of thinking about government is always exception-oriented and trying to make carve-outs for all different kinds of groups.
While we're on this subject, and it's related to a lot of things, I think churches should be exempt from all this stuff. I mean, so I want to make that comment. They're exempt from paying taxes, so legally, I think we can exempt them from a lot of these certain things. So I just wanted to bring that up. Thank you.
So exempt them from the fire codes, exempt them from the hiring regulations, just exempt them from everything. I understand he's pro-church. I understand churches have special status, but again, I just think his way of thinking about government is all exception-oriented and carve-outs, as opposed to kind of the rule of law is what governs everybody equally.
Hey, baby, jump over here when you do the ooby-dooby.
Good morning, 621 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
America's top UN diplomat says the U.S. is ready to help if Israel and Palestine want a ceasefire. Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield speaking to a virtual meeting of the UN Security Council Sunday.
The United States calls on Hamas and other Palestinian groups in Gaza to immediately halt rocket attacks and other provocations. We also are deeply concerned about the ongoing intercommunal violence within mixed communities in Israel.
Ambassador Thomas Greenfield saying both sides have to work to create a peaceful future. CDC director says requiring proof of vaccination for business services will likely be an industry-by-industry decision. On Fox News Sunday, Dr. Rochelle Walensky said some universities have already put vaccination mandates in place for the coming fall. And getting vaccinated against COVID-19 coming with a major perk for NASCAR fans over the weekend. Those who got vaccinated or tested at the Talladega Speedway Saturday offered the chance to drive their own car or truck for a couple of laps around the track.
Okay. All right. Mark, thanks so much for the update. 622 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Saturday, June 12th from 12 to 2, the first ever Big Scoop drive-thru at the Maritime Park Roundabout. Ice cream and other assorted sweets and frozen treats for each car to enjoy. Entry to drive-thru is $10 per car, bigs and littles for Big Sisters and Big Brothers. Get in free with proof of their magic card. All proceeds benefit Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Northwest Florida. Five Flags Rotoma is hosting their first cornhole tournament Saturday, May 22nd at noon at the Escambia County Equestrian Center. $50 for teams for the competitive division, $40 per team for the social division, $10 for the blind draw. Benefits the speech and hearing community. There will be first, second, third prizes for both divisions and door prizes for all food and drinks. More information, newsradio923.com. Hogfest is back at the Harley-Davidson of Pensacola on June 19th. Tickets are on sale now at northeastrotoma.com. You can have a chance to win a 2021 Harley-Davidson Fatboy valued at more than $20,000. And Pensacon. We're giving away tickets all this week to Pensacon, celebrating celebrities like Ed Asner, Patrick Warburton, and a Lost reunion May 21st to 23rd. Check out the guest lineup at Pensacon.com and listen to win weekend passes at newsradio923.com. What else do we have going on here? I did get a chance to go look at the road, the landing of the 3 Mile Bridge as it's coming into Pensacola. And here's what I can tell you. I hope it's ready. I really hope it's ready. Because there's pavement on the flyover, so you can drive the flyover. They have trucks up there. There's a down ramp. So the way it's going to work is when you're coming into Pensacola, you're going to go northbound on the new span. When that's done, early next year, fingers crossed. And then there's going to be a right side down ramp to go down to ground level. The ground level stuff is not done at all yet. Ground level is where it's going to connect if you turn right to 17th Avenue, and there's going to be a big circle there. We call it a round. Maybe we should just call them big traffic circles, Davis, because roundabouts have people triggered. It's going to be a big traffic circle, and you're going to connect over to 17th Avenue, and you're also going to connect back up. If you keep going around, you would go 17th Avenue to the right, and then you go Bayfront, and then you connect over to the up ramp to the southbound span, the one that we had in place and then has been destroyed, and now we're going to have back in place. That's going to be the way that you connect to that. So the circle, the traffic circle, maybe I shouldn't call them roundabouts again, is going to function that way, but there's nothing there yet. Like, it's just flat area. That's not done. And see, the reason that matters is because when, fingers crossed, the first span is finished within 2 weeks, fingers crossed, they're going to have to go somewhere. The traffic can't just drive onto dirt. So there has to be pavement to get you to something, which is supposed to be just to, you know, Gregory Street, basically, Gregory and or Chase. It's still not 100% clear to me how this is all going to work, but we'll see. So the bottom part is not done. The top part is getting closer to getting done. And this is why when Mayor Robinson says, you know, they're going to be able to cross on the bridge, but will they have anywhere to go once they get there? We'll see. Fingers crossed. We hope so. If you want to see a video of it, and I think it's one of those things, like, it really helps to see a video to actually see the structure as I'm talking about it. You can go to our Facebook page, News Radio 92.3. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
So taking a look at the front gate of NAS Pensacola, all checking in clear there, along with the Gulf Beach Highway and Blue Angel Parkway. And then if you're going along I-10, I-110, all flowing smoothly and still no delays to report from Garcon Point Bridge or Avalon. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
You know, when you go into business, what do you do it to? You do it because you think you can do a product or a service better than anybody else. You think you can provide medical services or construction help or HVAC to people better than anybody else. And then you get into business and you're doing that stuff and you discover, oh my God, all this other stuff I have to do as well. The payroll, the HR tools, the insurance and dental and vision and life and just all of that stuff. So here's what you do. You call Torgerson Causey. Because what you'll say to them is, hey, can you help? Andrew says you can help. And they will. They'll come in and they'll say, this is our thing. This is what we're good at. This is why we got into business, to free you up from having to do that other stuff yourself. So we will take care of you. And that's what they did for News Radio. They gave us options, which my wife always likes options, and options are good. So 20 years now, they've been helping people just like you run your business more efficiently by focusing on the stuff that you're good at. Torgerson Causey, 433-9996. Call them for a no-obligation review of the stuff that you're doing, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. a week from tomorrow, Tuesday, May 25th. Headliners and Hops. Yeah, we're back out of COVID, so we're having events again. O'Reilly's Irish Pub downtown, I will be hosting, of course. And we'll have a panel of newsmakers there, and we'll talk about all kinds of stuff that's going on. So that is next Tuesday, May 25th, from 5 to 7 at O'Reilly's Irish Pub downtown. And every time we have done this in the past, it has really been an awful lot of fun. Also, tomorrow night, Bands on the Beach starts at 7 o'clock at the Gulfside Pavilion. Music is back. Fun times for everybody. And I know it's a little longer to go around Pensacola. Still worth it. 6:30 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. If you've got any kind of a plumbing need, Barberry Plumbing, leak, drip, weird sound in the wall, water pressure, hot, cold, whatever the problem is, call Barberry Plumbing. They will take care of you. 477-8782. Coming up in a moment, we'll talk about the special legislative session starting today for the Florida legislature with Alex Andrade, trying to figure out gambling in the state. We'll talk about that, Mark.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. Some retailers are moving to drop or review mask mandates after the CDC announced last week that fully vaccinated people no longer need to wear masks. Trader Joe's now says those who are fully vaccinated can enter the grocery stores without masks in light of the news. It says it will trust its customers and not request proof of vaccination. Publix, Costco, and Walmart's also making masks optional unless required by state or local mandates. Disney World no longer requires masks in outdoor areas. The 7-Eleven convenience store chain has completed a $21 billion acquisition of Marathon Petroleum Corporation's Speedway convenience stores amid disarray from U.S. antitrust enforcers who hadn't agreed on what to do about a transaction they all said they believe was anti-competitive. 7-Eleven, a subsidiary of a Tokyo-based company, reached the deal with Marathon last August. It adds about 3,800 Speedway stores in 36 states to its business. That's Your Money Now.
AM 1620.
Good morning, 6:38, News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News, and Alex Andrade is our state representative for District 2, southern half of Escambia County, plus Gulf Breeze and the island. Alex, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me again.
Of course. Just when you thought you were done, you get to go back again to figure out internet wagering on sports betting in the state of Florida. Before we get to that, I did want to just give you a chance to clarify something. There was a story about HB 57. Kind of made it seem like you had promoted a law that would prevent the state from taking action against Skanska, prohibiting them from bidding on other contracts. And I'm not sure that the reality of it all came out. And I wanted to give you a chance to explain what HB 57 does.
Yeah, no, thank you. So HB 57 does 27 different things, but one of them is say that if DOT says that a contractor is qualified to build projects, say at $50 million of such of a certain type and a certain amount, a local government can't have a different standard to say a contractor is qualified, right? So, like, if you're a three-person shop with one backhoe, you aren't qualified to build on a bridge construction project or a large highway construction project. If you are, and if you've never had a history of doing that kind of work before, the language simply says a local government can't have a different standard to define qualified than DOT. It doesn't change what DOT does at all. It doesn't change DOT's certification process. It doesn't change whether or not Skanska is going to be listed as qualified or not qualified by DOT this year or in the future. But there was a local attorney who is part of the litigation against Skanska, who I've told time and time again to look and be like a teammate, but he was shopping a false narrative, I guess, to make it look like more people were against the local community than there are. I think I've been the most vocal as far as Skanska is concerned since the beginning. I've encouraged people to participate in those lawsuits. I've encouraged the local governments to participate in those lawsuits. And I was more just disheartened than anything else that the Laura didn't pick up the phone so I could explain DOT contracting and road construction contracting to him before he tried to, you know, shop a false narrative to local reporters.
Something which, by the way, your background was in before you were ever the attorney here for the city of Milton, before you were ever a state representative. You worked in the Department of Transportation in Tallahassee, so, and you run the transportation bill the last 2 years. So, you know, this is sort of your area of expertise. And, I just, and again,
last
I
three years, yeah.
Yeah, and I just wanted to make sure that kind of a little bit of a chance to clarify that came out. So today we're going to start the gambling session to figure out what to do. You and I have talked about this a little bit before. This is a big deal financially for the state of Florida, but let's start with the facts first. What will this bill, or what this deal, I mean, it's a huge bill, obviously, but if it winds up getting passed, what will actually change?
So that's a great question. First and foremost, it would allow sports betting in Florida to be legal. I think if you're an avid sports gambler, you've figured out a way already in Florida to bet on games online through, you know, servers that are hosted in offshore areas. But it would make it legal in Florida for sports betting to occur through the Seminole Tribe, through a platform they've created called Hard Rock Digital. It would also allow for more online gambling in its entirety. Again, a lot of this is traveling through different federal standards that have been pushed out. The Supreme Court has actually overturned the ban on sports betting that Congress tried to pass in the 80s. So we're traveling in a very heavily regulated industry and trying to find a way to match up the Florida Constitution, which a few years back said that voters – it had to be put to a referendum if voters wanted to expand gambling in Florida. We're traveling under, you know, this compact would have to get approved by the Department of the Interior if it ultimately gets ratified, and several other federal programs. So it's a heavily complicated bill. But locally, it would just mean that on your phone, you'll have more options to bet legally in different capacities.
Now, the argument that's being made by the advocates of the gambling referendum is that you're proposing, or well, the governor is proposing, but the legislature is going to consider approving a massive expansion of gambling in the state of Florida without getting public support through a referendum. The way I read it, the referendum only requires public support for casino-style gaming and doesn't say anything about this, even though it's clearly gambling. It just doesn't address this particular topic. You're an attorney. Is that how you read it?
Well, if you talk to any lawyer and there's a contract involved, like there would be in this one, you say your first step is to look at the contract, right? So the contract actually says if a referendum like that were to occur, acknowledging that that referendum would have effect, the compact would change the terms between the Seminole Tribe and the state of Florida, because the referendum wouldn't just apply to what we allow the Seminole Tribe to do in Florida. It would apply statewide to any entity that wants to enter that industry. So your guess is as good as mine. Any lawyer who goes to court pretty often can tell you that, you know, a trial is not predictable. No matter what the facts are, no matter what the law is. But as far as acknowledging the existence of the referendum and what voters have control of in the state, the compact does recognize that voters do have control of a certain component of gambling in Florida.
Okay. All right. So from your perspective, that makes it a little bit less obvious than I had taken it based on my read of the referendum language, and that's why I ask you. So fair enough. How long is this special session going to take?
Scheduled to meet starting today through Friday. As someone who loves being in my district, I'm hopeful that it ends before Friday, but it'll likely end at least by Friday.
All right.
So I'll be back in the district by Friday night or Saturday at the latest.
And handicapping it, you expect it to pass?
That is, I couldn't give you odds on that one, Andrew.
Stop it.
I can tell you. I can tell you, Governor DeSantis has done an incredible job for the state of Florida. I plan on having Governor DeSantis back. I'm just not sure. you know, at the risk of sounding really cheesy and doubling down on puns, this is the type of bill that's more geared towards a business decision that our executive made than towards any fundamental philosophical difference two people might have, right? So I made several commitments to my constituents the last times I put my name on a ballot, allowing the Seminole tribe to have a contract with the governor in the state of Florida is not something that my constituents seemed overly concerned about. It never came up at any doors that I knocked or in any town halls or debates. So we're going to see how many people want to be a chief and how many people want to be an Indian this coming week and potentially backseat drive the governor's decision on the policy.
But it would be a multi-billion-dollar benefit to the state, and that's not the only consideration, obviously, but this is a huge deal financially for the state of Florida, right, potentially?
Yeah, absolutely. In the first 5 years, it's a guaranteed $2.5 billion overall, about $500 million a year. And then after that, there's several different triggering components that'll affect how much the Seminole tribe turns over to the state. It's important to note, because the Seminole tribe is a sovereign entity, they're a sovereign nation, we can't tax them. So the only way that we derive any financial benefit from their operation of the gambling industry in the state of Florida is through these compacts. So it's definitely a very complex issue, and I'm looking forward to diving in on it this week.
Outstanding. Alex Andrade, he is our state representative for District 2. Alex, thanks so much for the time this morning. I know it's another week away from your family, but we'll look forward to seeing what happens in Tallahassee. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Andrew.
Absolutely. Average for a gallon of gas, $3.04 here in Florida. It is $2.89. King City, California, $5.39. And San Antonio, Texas, $2.35. I got to tell you, I am seeing an awful lot of $2.99 at every station in town. Nobody wants to be the one to go to over $3, right? Everybody's kind of holding the line, hoping to make it work at the below $3 a gallon price. But okay, fair enough. In Navarre, $2.96 west at the Walmart. If you're in Midway, it's $2.93. at the Murphy in front of the Garcon Point Bridge entrance. And I still cannot believe this SEFCO in Milton is showing at 276. That's 20 cents better than everybody else. 292 in Pace and also, or 292 in P Ridge and then also in Pace. Same thing. In Pensacola, 299 at the Raceway on North of Davis, 284 at the Walmart on 9 Mile, 284 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. And coming in from the southwest side, 289 at the TNC on Navy. These gas prices are brought to you by Pete Moore Volkswagen with the lowest out-the-door price on your next new Volkswagen, PeteMoreImports.com. Mark Jacobs is in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Fighting between Israeli forces and Palestinian militants entering its second week.
Overnight, the Israeli military said 54 fighter jets, mostly customized American F-16s, attacked nearly 10 miles of tunnels. It says Hamas is using to launch rockets at Israeli cities.
That's NBC's Richard Engel in Tel Aviv. It's taken a year. Things slowly but surely starting to return to normal, even though we've yet to fully defeat the pandemic. New York City's subway system back to 24/7 service today. Midnight curfew ending for outdoor dining. However, a curfew is still in place in the Big Apple for indoor dining. And imagine, boy, this is just mean. Jontarius Bryant went to Georgia last weekend for a tryout with the Atlanta Falcons. Former Austin Peay defensive back had been getting text messages from somebody he thought was the Falcons' defensive coordinator.
Oh, no.
It wasn't. He showed up, and him was told, no, sorry, we don't want you.
He got NFL fished.
Yep.
Oh, that's bad.
That's just mean.
That is really, really wrong.
And I'm sure there are people like, oh, come on, he showed up. Just give him a tryout. He could be good. Well, due to COVID rules, they can't because you're only allowed to invite five people, and they already had five people. So they couldn't have him if they wanted him.
All right. Wow. Yikes. All right. Mark, thanks so much for that horrifying update about prank cell messages. 6:54 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Shot on net. High off the glass. Hit on the left corner. 18 seconds to go. In that left corner now. A foul forward. Loose in that crease area. Puck rolls over the near side. 11 seconds to go. Let's start counting it down. 8, 7, 6, 5. Ice Flyers pick it up and empty net. He shoots and scores.
With that intro, Davis Allen with a quick shot of sports.
Did they win? I don't know.
Did the Ice Flyers win?
The Pensacola Ice Flyers did win. They won their fourth ever SPHL championship. So, champs, let's do it. Let's celebrate. Maybe not so much celebrating for the Pensacola Blue Wahoos, though. They did not have a great weekend. They won Friday, off to a good start, but lost on Saturday and Sunday. So they'll regroup. No game today, but they will host the, I can't wait for this one, the Rocket City Trash Pandas on Tuesday. I am ready for that series. Also, in the NBA, the season is now over, the regular season, which means now the play-in tournament. I'm pretty excited for this. The teams aren't, but I am. The play-in tournament will begin on Wednesday. And then also, in the Hall of Fame news, Kobe Bryant, of course, inducted into the Hall of Fame over the weekend officially. One of his daughters actually wearing his Hall of Fame jacket. They did announce the 2021 class. It includes future Hall of Famers like Paul Pierce, Chris Bosh, Chris Webber, and Ben Wallace. So congratulations to them. That's your quick shot of sports now.
Here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Future news, Davis, and I tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Ice Flyers are champions. They swept the Macon Mayhem, by the way. Are we going to get a parade?
I hope. Sure, we need something.
I suspect they're just going to put them on a float in Carnival. That's what I think. But I would love
they
to see
it. It'd be like a grand.
Yeah, Grand Marshal, something like that. I just want to see an event. I would love to see an event. We need events. Events are back. We need events. The traffic circle at the 3 Mile Bridge Landing in Pensacola. Will that be done in time for the opening of the bridge?
The traffic circle.
Yeah. I'm trying not to say roundabout.
It won't. No, it won't.
Will we actually be able to drive off the bridge? Will there be pavement to get onto?
Yes.
Let's see. Yes. Optimistically. Will there be any real news related to Congressman Matt Gaetz today with the Greenberg stuff?
No.
I also think no. I think there's going to be no information about Matt Gaetz today. Will the sports betting proposal that Governor DeSantis is advocating, will that actually wind up getting passed and go into law so you can sports bet on your phone as soon as that goes into place?
Yes. Let's do it.
I think that's probably going to pass. I do, in fact, think so. Trent Richardson playing football in Mexico? Is he actually gonna?
Well, this was announced a little while ago. I think yes.
Yeah, I think you know, why not? It certainly seems to make sense. will we do a special event to celebrate? Well, I should say, will all your local stores be no mask requirement within, let's say, a week?
Yes.
I think all, even some of the national, they're all changing, and they should, really. They should change. Now, they're going to say just for vaccinated people only. Of course, enforcement for that's a little bit difficult. We'll be back.